Sing together, I surrender all, which is something that I find I have to do every day, or if I don't, I find that I've taken a whole lot back that was surrendered the day before. I surrender all.
Thank you.
So I was at Lynn and Donna's house yesterday, and as is one of my habits, and you can have me. I can do a rotation. So if anybody wants me on Saturday morning to feed me and talk to me, I will do a rotation. So don't get jealous. Just make an offer. But anyway, I was at their table, and. Maybe, but ask Ann whether or not it would be successful. There you go. I remember one time I tried to put a door on, and oh my goodness, it still didn't happen. But I don't even want to talk to you about it. But anyway, so I was at their table, and I said, Donna, what do you think about this title? I said, it's either going to be based on obedience, the title of the sermon, or it's obedience stupid. And she didn't think I should go the way of it's obedience stupid. And she recalled the time when Lee, Pastor Lee, was here, and presented a sermon. What was the title of that sermon? Yeah, lead, follow, or get out of the way was the title of his sermon. And Pastor Lee was here from 2000 to 2005, and a couple left the church. Apparently they were in the way. So so Don is thinking, well, then all the stupid people, I don't know. No. In this title, it's obedience stupid. I'm referring to myself. Because I've often looked askance at this passage in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, the scariest passage I've made some reference to in the past, and wondered who's going to hear what's being proclaimed in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And so I'm going to begin there with you. Who's going to hear these words? Verse 21, Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everybody, and Lord, Lord, as you see it through the scripture, repeating a name like that indicates intimacy. In this case, the petitioner is indicating, I'm one of your intimates, Lord, Lord. But the one who does the will of my Father, though, is the one who will enter heaven. He goes on to say in that verse 22, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. We looked once at a passage that spoke to this issue, and it talked about a king that did righteousness. He paid attention to those that were in need and addressed their issues and ruled righteously. And at the end of that passage, God says through Jeremiah, is this not to know me? In other words, is not doing righteousness and treating people fairly knowing me? John 14 says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's who loves me. And there's a contrast that I want to look at in Jeremiah 7, and then I'll take you to a passage where I think we're going to camp for a while. Jeremiah 7, verses 21 to 25. Why this topic began to pester me was we made some mention of Ravi Zacharias last week and others that have turned, that have had troubles and have fallen away in a certain respect. And his organization hired a law firm to investigate his organization post-mortem in order to clear his name. But what happened instead was that the law firm uncovered a quantity of data, evidence, that indicated he was leading a double life for quite a while. And Ravi Zacharias is a tremendously gifted and stupendously intelligent man. And I have some of his books, and I will always reference those books because his theology was unquestionable. So I thought, what is Ravi going to hear when we all are going to stand at the bar of judgment? And God said, Jesus Christ is the man whom I have chosen who will judge you. Will, and I don't know this, will Ravi Zacharias here go away? I never knew you. Will he be one that says, Lord, didn't I preach in Thailand in your name and lead thousands to you? Didn't I preach in the United Kingdom in your name and lead thousands to you? Didn't I preach in Africa in your name and lead thousands to you? Did I not preach in Vietnam in your name and lead thousands to you? And all over America and lead thousands to you? Because that's what did happen. Will Jesus say to him, go away, I never knew you? Jesus equates knowing him with obedience. And that's an amazing thing. But let's go to this passage then in Jeremiah 7:21 through 24 and buttress this point. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat the flesh. Now, when the priests would bring the animal sacrifice up to the brazen altar, he would be going up an incline and he put the animal on the brazen altar. And God would consume that animal. So notice what he's saying. He's saying, go ahead and bring your burnt offerings and eat it yourself. That's what he's saying. That's the tone. For in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. So now let's go to a different sacrifice. Let's turn in our Bibles and electronically, if that's how you get around the scripture these days, to 1 Peter chapter 2, the first five verses, 1 Peter 2. Of course, the animal sacrificial system's gone away. But there's a new sacrifice, a new system of sacrifices that God expects from you and I. And that's what I want to focus on here. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy. And the hypocrisy that's focused on here is presenting yourself as other than who you really are, and envy and all slander, like newborn infants long for the pure milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. And it's not saying It's not talking or speaking of in this passage, in this verse, about milk versus meat, as there is a reference to that in a different passage. But the entirety of the scripture is being referred to here as the spiritual milk, that you may grow thereby unto salvation, if indeed, verse 3, you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, this is not the if of possibility, but the if that says, that assumes it's already happened. Verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Now, it's referring to you and I, believers, as a spiritual house, not as, it's referring to the mystical body of Christ. So when Peter spoke these words, his letter was being sent to five Roman provinces. And he's speaking, though, to the mystical body of Christ. In every church there are those that are unbelievers and those that are believers. The mystical body of Christ in the aggregate is who he's referring to, is that house that God is building, conversion by conversion. You yourselves as living sacrifice, or living stones rather, verse 5, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. You're standing now in the place of the Old Testament priests to make an offering, to offer spiritual sacrifice. So that's referring back to when that priest did go up that incline and did carry an animal to the brazen altar. Now we're the ones to offer a spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, let me read you a quote from theologian John Gill, just to help us in our understanding here. He says, thus the church is an unlimited priesthood. The church is an unlimited priesthood to offer upon the altar of the consecrated, dedicated heart of the believer spiritual sacrifices, not animal sacrifices, as in the case of the Levitical priests, but the activities of the human spirit of man energized by the Holy Spirit. So we are to offer our gratefulness as a spiritual sacrifice, but that's not all. That is, when I said to you, when I know how that man fell, Robbie, and I know how the others that I mentioned have fallen, and I know how thousands of Christians have fallen. And it's because they failed to do what Paul did in Romans chapter 7. Paul was struggling with his flesh. And he says, the good that I would do, I don't do. I'm trapped. I go left and then I end up going right. And he went on and on and on. And then at the end he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? He said, I'm a wretched man. I'm a fleshy man. I can't take one step without God's help. Who will rescue me? He says, thanks be to God, Jesus will. What happened with those men and anybody that does fall? If you fall, if I fall, I guarantee you this is what happens. We have failed to recognize that within us is a wretched man, and to call it what it is, and to say, Lord, please help me. Before I went to Walmart last night, what did I do? I said, Father, keep my eyes so that I don't look at what I'm not supposed to look at, but instead I am keeping the altar where I offer sacrifices of praise and right thinking before you as an aroma. Because the eyes are never full. Doesn't the scripture say, Death's never full. Destruction's never full. Neither are the eyes of man ever full. So you can look at women or women, you can look at men, and your eyes are never going to say, stop looking at those images. That's too much for me. I can't take it. It's never going to happen. The eyes of man are never full. Can I get a witness? Amen. And so, as humbling and as painful and as against my human pride as it is, I said, Lord, I can't do it on my own. Please help me keep my eyes. And then a couple of times during the night, I saw my eyes going. I said, Lord, help me. And in the place of looking at that image, I began to pray for whoever that individual was, or pray for somebody else, so I could keep the altar of my heart clean and offer a sacrifice to my Lord that was appropriate. You see what I'm saying? Just as the priest had to wash a certain way, wear a certain garb, be the right person, and be the only one that went into the Holy of Holies, we need to be as careful with this altar, the altar of our hearts, as they were with the altar that they made animal sacrifices on. That's why Robbie fell, because he failed to do it. That's why R.C. Sproul Jr., not R.C. Sproul Sr., fell. That's why Falwell's son fell, and that's why thousands of Christians today fall, and that's why thousands of Christians will continue to fall, because your pride doesn't want to admit that you can't put one foot in front of the other without his help. But that's the place of safety. That's the place of blessing. That's the only way you're going to gain victory. And who was it earlier that said, you are, I don't know, only takes one thing, one false step to ruin your integrity. Only one false step. We want to be a bright light. This is the end. This is the end. I don't know that we're going on for generations. Now, people have been saying that for centuries, I realize. But I can't imagine this madness going on much further. And even if I'm wrong about that, it's almost the end of your life. So one end is coming, that end or this end. Let's walk like men and women of God. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for how you want us to live. Help us to be priests that keep the altars of our hearts clear of obstruction, of wrong thinking, of envy, of lusts, of idolatry, of adultery, of malice, of slander, of ill will. Help us rather, Father, to keep the altar clean, and as we do, offer up an appropriate sacrifice to you. And you know, when you all are doing this, when you're operating like this, you're going to be talking different to people, you're going to be thinking different to people, you're going to be presenting yourself, and when the Lord brings those unexpected ministry opportunities to you, you're going to respond differently to them because you kept your mind in the Spirit. You don't have to pull your head out of the flesh into the Spirit to respond to something. You're already in the Spirit.
We're going to close today with a couple of verses of when we all get to heaven. And as we sing this song, I was just thinking, I hope we can all get together in heaven. So if you don't feel comfortable and don't think you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven, today is the day that you need to talk to the Savior. Thank you. Father, we thank you so much for preparing a place for us. Father, that what a joyous time it'll be when we all get together in heaven. So we want to thank you so much for being our Savior. We thank you for the streets of gold that are waiting for us. Father, as we walk this life that you've given us on this earth, Father, we want to do your will. Father, help us to commune with you, we want to know you. We want to know you better, and so we need to commune with you. We need to pray. We need to read your words, so thank you. And this will lead, I'm sure, to obedience and following you. So, Father, strengthen us in that area of our lives. Then we ask for you to rescue us from ourselves, from our sins, Father, that keep us looking towards you and not at things that we shouldn't be. Help us to walk in your steps that we might see the light and be able to walk without stumbling. Help us, Father, as we go from here and try to live the life that you would have us live and be a witness for you. And Father, we look forward to when we all get to heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name.